Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And I start with a great big happy holiday to you, or holidays, wherever you may be, however you may celebrate. We wish you the best of the season, and we hope that you are planning to relax, enjoy your life, and enjoy the holidays, and to say something kind and to say something warm to someone. Make them feel as good as we all should feel in the holiday season. We're delighted to be with you as always, and this is a very special program today for me because I am hitting very close to my heart why I do the show, why I've done the show for the past 7 or 8 years. As you know, we are driven by the need for all of us to be financially literate. That's why we ask you the question, are you financially fit? And if you're not, why not? Some of it indeed may be your fault, but other reasons may be because we're just not doing what we need to do in terms of teaching the best techniques and understand the importance of financial literacy. There's a note here, and we'll be talking about a report that came out, and it says, what is financial literacy? And this is from McGraw-Hill from Standard & Poor's Rating Service. Financial literacy is the ability to understand how money works in the world, how someone manages to earn or make it, how that person manages it, how he or she invested, or how that person donates it to help others. And in that statement, I've hit you right squarely in the head in one form or another. So it is important, no matter what else we may be doing, financial literacy has an impact on us because no matter how intense we get or we intend to become involved or not, we're going to go to the store and get a loaf of bread. That will require some knowledge of financial literacy. You're exchanging something for something, and it's a financial transaction. So where are you? That's what we're going to be talking about today, and I have the pleasure of having back into our studio Professor Dr. Anna Maria Lusardi. She is the director of the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center at George Washington School of Business. You may remember back in July of 2014, she graced our studios. At that time, a report came out that tested 15-year-olds worldwide. And the U.S. did not do so well, or at least not as well as we would have thought they would have done. Now that there's been an expansion of the program, not only 15-year-olds, but adults worldwide. And that brings into discussion a completely different look at how we are going to compete in a global economy. And believe me, we are in a global economy. So I'm very pleased to welcome back to our studio microphones Anna Maria Lusardi. Dr. Lusardi, thanks for joining us. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much, Paul. I'm so delighted to be here today and very, very happy to talk about the findings of this new survey. And when you said, you know, financial literacy is very close to your heart, I have to say financial literacy is at the very center of our heart at the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center. We have financial literacy in our name because that's what we do. We study we study financial literacy, we study potential solution to financial literacy, and we are so delighted that finally we have evidence we can look at for what's the extent, mm-hmm. what's the level of financial literacy around the world.
Tell us about it. This is so important. We now have a study that says, here's where we are, here's where we stand worldwide, not just 15-year-olds, but all of us, adults especially. What's your reaction to the study and what you found out?
Yeah, and first I wanted to tell you that we are very, very grateful to Standard & Poor's Rating Services for supporting this survey. You know, this is a major initiative. You know, we have been able to measure financial literacy around the world. But when I say we, it's not our center. Who did it was Gallup, which did an amazing work in this initiative, you know, measuring financial literacy in more than 140 countries. We have evidence now for 143 countries, and we have interviewed 150,000 adults. But this is a representative sample of the population around the world.
So we know from this study, we can now say 140 or more countries. We've gone in, we've asked the questions, and we can now do a comparative analysis of where we stand in the U.S. and where other countries stand around the world.
Yeah. So I want to highlight a couple of findings which are important. First of all, in the world, just one in three only one in three people are financially literate.
One in three people?
One in three. So 33% of the population around the world is financially literate. And when I mean financially literate, you know, they basically have a comprehension mm-hmm. of the basic concepts mm-hmm. at the basis of financial decision making. So we are not asking, you know, very advanced questions. But as you said, kind of the basis that allows you to do this day-to-day finance operation, right. including buying the loaf of bread. I love your analogy. And second, you know, when we look at the U.S., we find that 57% of adults in the U.S. are financially literate.
So let's compare that. So worldwide, only 33% are financially mm-hmm. literate. In the United States, 57%. Mm-hmm. But that's not such an exciting number, is it?
It's not an exciting number, indeed. You know, only in a sense a little more than half of the U.S. population kind of know these basic concepts. You know, if you think of all of the financial decisions that we make here, including, for example, student loans on how to save for retirement and the size of those markets, you know, $1.3 trillion of student loan on the shoulder of young people. You know, we definitely kind of need to do better. And, you know, in addition, the U.S. is not at the top of the list of countries who are financially
Where
literate.
Do we end up? We know what percentage, but how do we compare to the rest of the world?
So more or less, you know, you know, we are not very fond of ratings in a way, you know, because there is so much that,
sure,
you know,
that goes into
that,
it.
That goes into it. But, you know, the U.S. is basically 14 in this list where, you know, we see at the top mostly the Nordic countries, and then a list of other countries, which I think tells me that, you know, we don't learn financial literacy just by being born in a country with a well-developed financial market.
That's just not enough to make a difference. Folks, what you heard is we end up about 14 on the list. There are 13 or 14 countries ahead of us, led by the Nordics. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. We'll also introduce a young man who is in Bangkok, Thailand, who he's 28 years old. All of this means a lot to him as well, and he participated in our first discussion. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're talking about financial literacy around the world, thanks to a study that was commissioned by Standard & Poor's by McGraw. Which is an arm of Standard & Poor's, as I understand it. And they did this survey of 143 countries around the world to determine adults to figure out where we stand in that. Now, my guest in studio is Anna Maria Lusardi. She is the director of the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center at George Washington University. Her business is all about finances. One of the people she has impressed aside from me, is another Barry by the name of Tally Barry. You may recall Tally is associate producer of this show, and he has from time to time been with us, joined us on a number of topics. Never anything so much as financial literacy, because from his point of view, this is really the backbone of what's going to make or break us in this world economy. Tally joins us now from Bangkok, Thailand, where he is an instructor. He teaches English to the Thai, and he teaches Thai to the English. And in his spare time, Dr. Lusardi, he plays music, a guitar there, but he also spends a great deal of time dealing with this issue. Tally Barry, welcome to Home and Family Finance again. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always great talking to you, and it's a special pleasure to talk to Dr. Lusardi again.
Absolutely, it is. And she's got some information. We were talking about where we rank. We know that we are about 14th with 57% of our adults being literate. I think you have some information on Thailand, where he is now.
Yeah, actually, Thailand, unfortunately, is at 27%. So only 27% in Thailand are financially literate and is, in a sense, below the median, which is at 35%.
Any reason why? Is it, they're brilliant people. Is it that they just don't think that this is something important to know?
It's hard to tell. You know, as I've mentioned earlier, it's not that we learn financial literacy just by watching the world around us, right? It takes, of course, a very good and robust education system. And so, you know, and also in countries where perhaps there has been less financial inclusion, where people don't participate to formal financial markets, then financial literacy might be, you know, lower than in other places. You know, I have to say I've visited Asia a lot, and I think it's such a dynamic population. And you know, I really think that this is probably one set of countries that can do a lot in the future, and where, you know, finance is critically important, and, you know, where I see a lot of potentials for doing better.
Tali, your thoughts about that, since you're there in that country?
As a teacher, you know, I've had an insight into what the children are getting of the country, and as little as we perceive there to be in the United States, and there is more in certain states. Utah is doing really well. A few other states are doing well with financial literacy education. In Thailand, it's really not a priority at all. Actually, since the PISA results testing the 15-year-olds a few years ago, there has been more of a push. There are some programs from big banks, big departments in Thailand, but still, it hasn't quite reached the level of schools. So, in any of the schools I've been in, I haven't seen financial education per se.
And I think that's part of what we're talking about here is that there has to be the realization, but you have to know where you are, whether it's in Thailand or the United States or anywhere else in the world, in order to understand what needs to be done.
Yes, very much so. You know, I think that finance today is like reading and writing, right? What, you know, if you are not able to read and write, it's very hard to participate to society, right? It's very hard to be, in a sense, a good, productive member of today's society. So we need financial literacy as well.
We're talking with Anna Maria Lusardi, who is the director of the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center at George Washington University, and Tali Berry, who is joining us from Thailand. When we come back, we'll get more into what all this means, the study that we're reviewing. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank our sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council and the CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. We thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit. Have the holidays stretched your wallet a little too far, or has an unexpected expense left you concerned about paying your bills? Don't go online or out of the gate to a payday lender if you're in the military, because they're going to charge you an arm and a leg in fees. Check out your OnBase, and you heard me talk about it. The Defense Credit Union is OnBase, and the council runs that series of. Did you know that on every military installation around the world, there is a credit union there run by the Defense Credit Union Council? Not only do they have payday loan alternatives, they also are chartered by the Department of Defense to provide financial counseling and help you get back on your feet and better prepared to face tomorrow. You know, you have a mission. It's hard to face your mission if you're worried about your finances, if you're worried about what's happening to your family, if you can't make the budget stretch throughout the month. So from our military point of view, if you're going to be mission ready, you've got to be financially ready. So go to dcuc.org to find your nearest Defense Credit Union. And saving is always important. And as we always say, you don't have to be in the military to save. Everybody should be saving a little something. What I'm saving for you today on this show is an understanding that we want to share that you must know. Financial literacy is a critical barrier to financial and economic participation. Because of a lack of knowledge about finance and financial products, many people, and especially the poor and women, are not able to access banking and financial services and are therefore kept out of financial markets. And if you, and you know who you are, let me ask you this, basically. You've got a high school diploma. How many of you can actually balance your checkbook or even know how to do that or have ever done it? That's all a part of this process of being financially literate, of understanding how to work your finances to your best example. Anna, you talked about student loans and the process of where we get to a point. And Tally, of course, knows that we, as a family, got to where we had to take out a student loan for some of his siblings. Nobody said, how much do you know or how much don't you know? We just kind of went bounding through that. And I think that's what many people end up finding. That's why we're in a situation now where over $1 trillion in financial. There's more money, more. There's more debt, financial student loan debt than there is credit card debt. We're in trouble.
Yes, it's true. The student loan market is becoming very, very large. And the people which are dealing with that market are young people. And now young people start their economic life in debt.
Yes.
Right? What a challenge. What a challenge for a young generation.
And why do we do that? Why are we content, or at least it seems so, the government, to have kids graduated from college $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in debt? What's the purpose of that?
Yeah, well, the cost of education have increased in every country, I have to say. And many, many countries are not able, like in the past, to really take up some of the cost of this education. And the higher level education, some of the reward go to the individual. So I think we see around the world this shift in our responsibility from the government to the individual. But with that shift in responsibility, we also need to make sure that people are equipped to deal with this. I want to give you an analogy. I'm Italian, and I'm very obsessed with traffic. But traffic is very hard, and everybody's on the road, mm-hmm. right, to drive somewhere. But, look at what we have done to regulate traffic, right? We want to make sure that before people hit the road, before they are on the wheels to drive their car, they actually know how to drive,
yes.
right? And
right.
we have also put up sign, and we have speed limits. But, for any other topic, including our investment, we don't have that rule, including whether people can indeed drive their
well
own
said.
Investment.
Well said. You're absolutely right. We make sure, before they get out on the road, that they know the rules of the road. And yet we don't make sure that our – and Tally, do you have student debt?
I do, yeah. Small amount, but you still feel it.
Yeah, yeah. And do you feel – I don't know. I guess the question is not what – look, let me take a break when we come back. Because I don't know – I want to ask, Tally, is it fair? We'll get to that when we come back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We're very pleased to be talking about this new Global Financial Literacy Survey, information that you should know because it's all about you.
Safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
My thanks to Standard & Poor's for their decision through McGraw-Hill to publish the results of a worldwide survey, which really, in simple terms, they decided to ask people, what do you know or not know about financial literacy? And then they compared what they found out from 143 countries. We ended up about 14th on the list of that 143 countries. The percentages of adults who are literate, who can read or write, was 57% compared to other places that were not. Tally, Dr. Lusardi used an analogy here. That kind of caught your ear, did it not?
Yeah, it was about driving versus financial literacy. And we don't really give young people the same tools to deal with debt and other financial ideas that we do before we put them behind the wheel of a car. I was wondering if Dr. Lusardi thinks With more access to financial markets, with bank accounts going to younger and younger people, with more credit instruments, is it getting more difficult to navigate the financial world?
I think so. This financial instrument can be very complex. And one of the things which is important is that there is risk in every financial instrument. There is risk in cash. Right. If you keep cash under the mattress, you know, you are facing an inflation risk. So, you know, as we want to improve access to finance, which is so important, in particularly in, you know, in newer countries, developing countries, I think, you know, we need to equip the people with the skills that they need to manage this new financial instrument, to really take full advantage, for example, of this financial instrument. And we see this in the data as well, that is the people, for example, who know more about interest compounding, that they use the accounts actually to put their saving in. So, you know, we want to give people access to this financial instrument, but we want them to have the skills to best use them for their own needs.
With more countries developing access to financial instruments, is it creating a dangerous situation? Because cars have become easier to drive, but this seems to be getting more difficult. So. Is it a dangerous situation, you'd say?
It's a great question. I think it's a dangerous situation if we don't improve financial literacy. You know, we can't, I think, providing access without providing as well the capacity and the skills to use this complex asset, I think, could be dangerous. You know, and we also, which also means we need to simplify as well those financial instruments in the same way in which we have made the car much safer and much easier to use.
I'll ask you both, Tally and Anna, this question, because the audience says, okay, we've got a survey that tells us where we are. We now know how we stack up. But the question then becomes, what do I do? All right, you've informed me I should be financially literate. You've let me know where I stand in the world through this survey, thanks to McGraw and to Standard & Poor's. So now, as an individual, as a parent, you know, or as a young student, what do I do? What do I do now?
It's a hard question, but one of the things I really want to emphasize is that, you know, it's time to put this into the schools. You know, we cannot, you know, in a sense, have people taking up all of these student loans without having them at least some basic financial literacy. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to empower the people to live in this global economy, to, you know, deal with this much more complex financial market, to deal with this, you know, higher individual responsibility for this financial decision. You know, financial literacy also allows people to achieve their dreams. And, you know, it's becoming harder to achieve those dreams, and we need to equip them.
And I know that you and Tally both appreciate teachers, so I'm going to say this, and it's not picking on the teachers at all. But my question is, do we need to do a much better job in terms of teaching financial literacy in our schools? Is that the key to this, Tally? Is that the key to this, Anna?
I think there is certainly we need well-trained teachers, and I think there are academic research that shows that in the state that use a regular curriculum and that train the teachers, actually the student not just do better in financial literacy, but also do better in their financial behavior, in particular financial behavior toward debt. You know, so clearly, and you're absolutely right, that we need to also train the teacher. This is a new topic. You know, often people haven't had it before. Right. And so if we put it in the school, we need to make sure that, as in every other topic, you know, the teachers are really well equipped and they have the curriculum and the standards and all of the knowledge to really transfer it to the students.
I'd like to give a shout out right now to PricewaterhouseCoopers, because this is a worldwide company. They agree, and they are spending a great deal of their money and resource in changing teachers, and teaching teachers. Teachers have admitted, I don't feel comfortable because I never learned these things. You know, I'm just not. So they're training teachers, and they're saying the results are apparent, Tally, that a teacher. Trained teacher can mean a lot more and feel more comfortable if they understand what they're teaching in this case.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, they is so impressive what they have done. And now we see really firms stepping up. you know, we see firm having a vision for the future, because financial literacy is inherently about the future. And I think really realizing how important it is for them as well to contribute and take up some of these challenges.
Tally, are we asking the best and the brightest, that is to say young companies, whether it be Pricewater, are we asking them to do their part, or is the government and our local government simply ignoring the people that could make a difference in terms of teaching?
Well, it needs to be a nationwide and top-to-bottom thing. What stands out to me in the survey is that it could be about economic, certainly educational inequality. If you go online, mhfi.com, check out the survey. The scary thing is they're not difficult questions. These questions are questions I think the people I went to school with, high school, university, I hope most of them could answer these questions. But the scary thing is that the people who can't answer the questions are probably those most at risk from suffering from lack of financial literacy.
All right.
It has to be the companies, but, you know, how deep is the reach of the companies? At some point, I think it has to be a federal thing.
All right. Thank you, Bones. Thank you. And when I come back, that's a very important thing that he's pointed out. We'll talk more about that. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we are very pleased to be talking about this global financial literacy survey. And I hope it's making you feel like, hey, I can do better and I will. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're talking about the Global Financial Literacy Survey that is now available to you. You can go online and see where we stand. 57% of you are literate. The other 43% are not. We are 14th out of 143 companies. Find out who is at the top and who is at the bottom. My guest, Tally Berry, joining us from Bangkok, Thailand, where he is teaching, among other things, the language and also the importance of financial literacy. And here in the studio with us, the director of the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center at George Washington University. Anna Maria Lusardi is a rock star. She is leading the effort nationwide to make sure that we all become more financially literate. Tally talked about a survey. That kind of rang a bell with you, did it not?
Yes, very much. And I think he also talked about the fact that when you look at those who have the lowest level of financial literacy, these are people with the lower income, lower education. So these are vulnerable groups already. And that's why when we talk about, you know, improving financial literacy, it has to be a very big effort that, includes firms, corporation, but also school and the government. And I have to say, also the individual. I just feel that now, you know, this is becoming so important that our suggestion is everybody should ask for financial literacy. Parents should ask for financial literacy in the schools. We also need to take initiatives. You know, we can't just stay there like hoping that financial literacy will be provided to us, you know, in the school or in the workplace. We also need to be proactive and demanded.
And if you have any doubt about it, folks, I just ask you to review your experience in school. How much did you really learn about how our economy works, about what interest rates are, about the stock market, about all the things that you could be participating in if you know about them? But Tally, if you don't know about these things, if you've not learned about them, you're not likely to be involved, are you?
No, and you're not likely to pass it on to the next generation either.
Well, and I think that speaks volumes about the importance of what we just mentioned a few minutes ago, folks, about companies, major companies in here we have academia saying, okay, this is important. Here we have PricewaterhouseCoopers, a major company, donating a tremendous amount of money to financial literacy. They get it, and I think a lot of other companies would too if they were asked to do it. And I think that ask is going to have to come from academics, and it's going to have to come from families, from you and me, demanding that our children be taught the very best of finance. I mean, that's where it's going to have to come. We're going to say, look, I want my kid to know a heck of a lot more than I ever knew. okay, in school. When they come out, they have their diploma, they have their driver's license, and they have a full-fledged knowledge of how our system really works.
Well, Paul, when it comes to financial literacy, we really need a revolution. So a month ago in Beijing, China, we launched a financial literacy manifesto. And this manifesto is about the fact that everybody in every country now needs financial literacy. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that this is provided and everybody has access to that. And to make it more real, to make it more practical, what we have also done, we have created and engaged an international federation of finance museum. You know, places where people can go to learn about financial literacy in a fun way, like listening to your show.
Thank you. So
these finance museums around the world have come together and have committed to really improve financial literacy in the countries where they are in, mm-hmm. and to make sure that we can provide that access to everybody. So we really need to step up the effort for financial literacy.
And there's so many different ways to do it. What you're saying is that we've got to be creative in terms of getting, you know, when you say financial, when I started doing this show, people said, what's your show about financial literacy? Their eyes glaze over. And I said, don't do that. Be involved. Learn what this is about. It's exciting because it opens up the doors for you to do a lot more than you're doing. So, you know, get involved and understand it. And I think surveys like this are so important because it really kind of provokes us. And I'm going to ask both of this question. What surprised you the most or disappointed you the most or didn't? Tally, I know you know what the survey showed. What were you most, excited about or not excited about the results of the survey?
Well, you know how important education is to me. One statistic that stood out was that the gap in financial literacy between those with a secondary high school education and those with a college education in America is 28%. And there's no other advanced economy that comes close to that. So clearly those at the top of the ladder are getting at least some of the skills they want, but those who aren't are falling behind. So that gap stood out to me.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's actually a very important one. Two things stood out to me, but I want to, in a sense, pick up on what Tali said, which is if you look at the young, very interestingly, in the kind of advanced economy, we see an inverted U shape, meaning, you know, the young don't know as much, mm-hmm. and then the older population knows more. In the developing countries, what we see instead is the young, which have the highest amount of knowledge. It is still lower than the advanced economy, but they are the ones doing better. And this provides me some hope, you know, that the young perhaps are now finding new ways to learn, and perhaps some countries are also investing in the young, and we should really do so. And that kind of contrast is quite interesting.
All right, when we get back, I know there's other things about that survey that you want to talk about, and we'll talk about that because it's important. We are in a global economy. That's the truth of it, and we've got to operate from that point of view. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be back more with Anna Maria Lusardi and Tally Berry from Bangkok, Thailand. Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We're talking about financial literacy around the world thanks to a Standard & Poor's rating service Global Financial Literacy Survey. And we thank them. We applaud them for doing what they've done in terms of getting this information in readable, understandable form and available to you. This is all available to people if they want to go online and they can understand that. And we're talking about this survey and what's good and what's bad, or at least what has stood out more to you. What stands out more to you? Go ahead.
I want to talk about another striking finding of this survey, which is that in almost every country around the world, we see a gender gap in financial literacy, meaning men know more than women. But Paul, there is actually an interesting finding in that in those survey, which is that it's not that women are more likely to answer incorrectly to the financial literacy question. They are more likely to say, I do not know. And this is true in so many countries. But hey, women do not know, but they know they do not know.
Yes.
So they might be the ideal people to make financial decisions.
To learn more and quickly.
And to learn more and quickly.
They accept it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they're willing to do that. To both of you, I guess the question, we can't possibly get everything in. I do want to emphasize again the importance, I think, of companies worldwide, not just here, saying, look, we're going to support higher education, better education, educating the if you can't teach if you don't know, so that the teachers have to be taught. I think those, from my point of view, are so important. From your point of view?
Absolutely. And, you know, if they help the school, if they have the teacher, they are going to have a better labor force, right? A labor force which has better skills to work better, to participate better in the, you know, in the market, to make better financial decisions. We all benefit from that, the employer as well. So I think, you know, it's important to have this effort coming from all of the parties.
And Bones, you mentioned a website where people could go and do their survey of themselves. Please, that's important. Tell us where they should go for that.
The results are at the website of McGraw-Hill Financial Incorporated. That's MHFI.com. So go on there. You can take the survey yourself, just a short five-question survey. See if you're financially literate. Check out some of the key findings from the report, and you can also download the whole report and read more into the data.
Okay. All right. You pushed for us to talk about this. Have we covered what you think is important for our audience to hear?
Well, this is what we always focus on. So this is one of the most exciting shows of the year, when we get to actually discuss whether there's been a change, or how we're doing as a country and as a world on financial literacy. And so I'm excited with what we've been able to cover. I'm a little bit, maybe a bit disappointed with some of the results. We're clearly trailing some countries, and the gaps are stunning. The gap between men and women is larger in the U.S. than it is in other places. So there's work to be done, but I'm glad we get a chance to talk about it.
And Anna, what about you? I mean, were you encouraged or discouraged by the results of the study?
Both. In a sense, you know, the results really tell us that we need to step up the effort. So I think it's important to see the results so we can actually do and do better. And I just want to end, you know, by citing a statement that actually a Chinese student said in one article. And he says, you know, I'm really interested in finance because, and in financial literacy, because I want to do better in the future. And I think this summarizes what financial literacy is about. And, you know, this is the end of the year. You know, often we do, you know, some thinking about, you know, how the year has gone. And to understand how we are doing, we need to do a checkup. And so I want to echo what Tali said, which is, you know, take the test so you see how you are doing. And if you are not doing well in the new year, what else can you do so you can do better in the future?
Well, it's so well said, Anna Maria Losardi. We appreciate your push in so many different ways. The Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center at George Washington. How do we reach out to you there?
Yeah, so we have a website as well. It's www.gflac.org. We actually have a page dedicated to these surveys. I explained this in a short video. We have some of the results, and you also have the questions. So please visit that website as well.
Tali Berry, thank you so much for joining us from Thailand. You've
My
made
pleasure.
A difference. It's a pleasure. Anna Maria, it's always nice. Please promise to come back and talk more about this, would you?
I will, absolutely. Right. And happy holiday to everybody.
And I echo that same thing to all of you, however you celebrate the holiday season. Do so, be safe, be kind, and be financially literate. This is Paul Berry.